Today on Real Radio.
If you find yourself tonight being a single person and you've got time, in fact, you call friends, what are we doing next week? What are we doing? Oh my goodness. You need to give your time to God. And you expect to find a godly mate when you are not pursuing the things of God with your time?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian in Your Relationships.
That guy is listening to the wrong voice. There's hormones talking. And when you yield to the hormones screaming versus her sanctity and the respect of her, then listen, you've just showed the value or the devalue of her in your heart. And any man or any woman that gets that where, hey, come on. And if you say, no, I'm going to save myself for marriage because I want my marriage to succeed, and I want to have nobody else's face in my mind when you and I are together for the rest of our lives. I want you and you only. If they say, what? What are you, some kind of a weirdo? Listen, it's time for you to say, thank you so much. Thank you. You are not for me. I'm dead serious. Listen, girls, I wish there were just girls in here right now. I'm telling you something right now. I'd tell you some secrets. The guy who loves you, he can be tempted and he can be pulling his hair out, but he won't touch you. He'll go, oh. Oh. Bink, bink, bink. Right. In fact, young lady, you should be blessed by his torment over this issue because he respects you so much that he honors you over his own demands. And the world has got it upside down and people are broken. And you can say to me tonight, Jack, you're nuts. I'm just going to do my own thing. All right. Come back in 3 years. Tell me how you're doing. I'm dead serious. I'm an old guy now. I've been married 30 years. Look, I can tell you this. I'm going to get paid if you listen to me or not. But listen to me on this. If I respect my date that I'm out with, I'll never violate her or him to satisfy my own temptation. Man, I tell you, read the Song of Solomon if you're old enough. That is one hot book. And she's getting all excited. She is getting excited. And you know what Solomon says? He says, calm down, sweetie. Calm down. Do not awaken love until it pleases or till it's the right time. Now, listen, you need to just go home. He tells her, you just need to go take a shower, young lady. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. A woman should be so protected that if she's tempted, you're her protection, not her vandalizer. If she says to you, you know what, I am going crazy right now. You're the cutest thing in the world, and you're so spiritually wonderful, and I just love, oh, man. Oh, don't awaken love, sweetie, until it's the right time. Some guys are writing that down. That's a great thing to. No. Dead serious. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God. Your sanctification, that means you belong to God, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. He told the church at Thessalonica, stop messing around. God's will for you now is to stop messing around. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, that's their body parts, private parts, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles or non-believers do who don't know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother or sister in this matter. the matter being sexual issues and conduct. Do you really love him? Then listen, when you see him freaking out, help him out by saying, listen, let's just part ways. I'll call you tomorrow. And, you know, if you see her, listen, help her. But never, never, God says, don't take your body and commit it to sexual immorality. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Also this, being the love of their life means that we, listen, that we submit to them above all others. Hello? Submit. People get all nervous about this word. Submit. Oh, I'll do a wedding and I'll recite the vows. And I've done enough weddings now that when I'm doing the thing and I'm doing the vows, I'll look out in the audience. And do you today vow to submit to him? And before I even get the next line out, as he submits to Christ, they don't even let me get that far. The women in the service, they're going, what? Submit. Listen, there's a reason why God said this. By the way, when a woman has a man in her life who really, really loves her and she knows it, guess what? You never have to bring up the word submit, because she goes like this. And you say, what do you want to do tonight, sweetie? What do you want to do? Whatever you want to do. And you know what? For some of you have been burned beyond crisp and you're all torched out and hurt from throwing your relationships away, you're saying, that's ridiculous. I understand your response. That's because you've done it wrong all this time and you're all hurt. So you think, I'm not going to put my heart out there on the table again. And that's a tough thing to overcome, but in Christ, you can overcome that. But because of your silly decisions, don't think the word of God is null and void. No, God's got it down. And when a man really loves a woman, she will know it. And I have yet to see a woman who's loved like that. I've never seen her say, when he speaks to her and says, hey, you know, sweetie, let's this and let's that. She will always go along with it because she knows he's talking to God and he loves her and she relaxes. And by the way, this is not in the study, it'll be for next week, but here's the deal. When a woman's loved like that, and she submits to her husband, listen, she will grow and go become a woman that she could never have been any otherwise because God engineered it that way. A good, precious husband who loves his wife, she's excited to submit to him. And listen, here's the deal. Wives, submit to your husbands. The word means to watch, to go down to or to bow down to in submission. Again, you're saying, listen how quiet it is in here. See? But listen, never lose picture of this. I should have drawn a cartoon tonight so you had it. If he lifts her up and extols her high and loves her like she needs to be loved, guess what? She's got to bow down to him just to get eye level with him. Because she's so high up. She comes down at eye level because he keeps lifting her up. You have a woman like that in your life and she will grow and go become the woman of God that he's made her to be, and you'll be the happiest man on the planet. Trust me, I'm telling you now. It's amazing. Here's the deal. Ephesians 5:21, very, very rarely quoted verse. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's written to husbands and wives. Or how about this? Husbands and wives to be. How about this? The person that you are growing this relationship up with. First word, it says submit to one another in the fear of God. That's both of them. How's that? That's cool. Now check it out. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. He's not the Lord, but as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife. Also, Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. We're going to get a deeper answer on this in a moment. Check this out. It is awesome. If this man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church, notice this. He's the head. You ever see my big fat Greek wedding? Great line. But mama, he's the head of the house. And she goes, he may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck. And the neck can turn the head any way it wants. That's cool. That's cool because that's how it ought to be in a way. Because the word head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, the word means that he, the man, like Christ, is the first one to be sacrificed by giving his life for the welfare of the church or the wife. He's the first sacrifice. If a bad man knocks at the door, no man says, "Honey, get the door." He gets the door. He's the first one to be sacrificed. And listen, that could very well be in other areas as well. Very important. Thirdly, under the second point, being the love of their life means that you affirm them above all others. Have you noticed I've been saying above all others? If you talk to your secretary better than you do your wife, you're messed up. If you respect that guy at work more than your husband, you're messed up. See, Jack, you don't know my husband. Listen. Boy, I tell you, stay tuned for the next few weeks because I'm telling you something. There's a book out there. There's two books. One's for the husband and one's for the wife. It's called The Power of a Praying Husband and The Power of a Praying Wife. If any of you are single, buy it now. Or just wait a few weeks. We're going to have it on sale here at the church for cost. Get it. It's going to be the book of the month for February. Unbelievable. It's so biblically based, but the power of a praying wife. You don't like your husband? I don't like my husband. Well, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Then you know what? You've got one thing to do. Start praying for him. Plus, watch what happens to him when you start praying for him. God will get his attention. You might say, I didn't know if he's going to do it that way. God will do it any old way he can to get his attention. It's an awesome, awesome series of books. Pray for him. Pray for her. But affirm them. Your husband, your wife should know by vocal and by actions of your affirmation. The Bible goes on, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church, here it is, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her. Every wife should be sanctified by her husband. That is, she should know that she's set apart. She should know that she's absolutely special. And cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Husbands, more on this next week. Wives, more on this next week. But how's your marriage? Are you washing each other in the word? We'll talk next week how to do that. That he may present her to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives even as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, do you want to be happy?
Yes.
Love her immensely. You'll be happy, God says. Isn't that amazing? Point number three, and we'll end on this final point. Being a Christian and managing your resources. Now, this is going to get kind of hot under the collar and convicting, and then we'll come to a screeching halt and you can leave. Managing your resources. Listen, I'm speaking predominantly to the singles here tonight. Managing your relationship and your time. Managing your relationship and your time. Please listen carefully to this. Amplified version of the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in full view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after the and adapted to the external, superficial customs of this world, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amplified version, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Managing your relationship and your time. When you look for a husband or a wife, look for a person who's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Statistically, listen to this. The bulk of ministry in any church, I know it's true here, there's exceptions, but the bulk of ministry in any church regarding who's doing the doing falls statistically within a range of 35 to 55 years of age. Did you know that? From 35 to 55 years of age are the predominant lay leaders and ministers of the church. Listen to this. By far, that those who minister are those who have found to be young parents of children or parents of young children, full-time dads, single moms. Again, those from about 35 to 55 years of age. Why? Why is it that those who are usually more senior in their careers, 35 to 55, are the ones serving? Those who have young children are serving? That doesn't make any sense. Dads and moms serving? Interesting. Predominantly in churches, singles who are self-centered on their singleness don't serve. They don't go to the mission field. They don't become ushers. They don't become lay leaders. You know why? Listen, if this shoe fits, wear it. Or I should say, take it off. If you find yourself tonight being a single person and you've got time, in fact, you call friends, what are we doing next week? What are we doing? Oh my goodness. You need to give your time to God. And you expect to find a godly mate when you are not pursuing the things of God with your time? Oh my friend, listen, devote your time to God in your singleness and watch what happens. This is very, very important. Very, very important. Number two, mark it down, managing your relationship and your money. Managing your relationship and your money. Most singles, most, not all, most singles have more money available to them to do or to invest or to tithe or to serve. But singles are tempted, even Christian singles are tempted. Hey, let's fly to Frisco this week for lunch or whatever. What are you talking about? Well, I can do it. Of course you can do it, but is that what Jesus would have you to do? Are you supporting missionaries? Are you helping out? Again, this is convicting for a lot of people. Now, I'm going to share some stuff with you that's personal to make you feel better and make me feel worse. When Lisa, this is a true story. When Lisa and I first met, we were Christians. She was going to First Baptist Church of Anaheim. I was going to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. We met at Orange Street in Newport Beach. She was going to the store, and I was playing volleyball. Middle of the day, summer. And we were engaged for about a year, got married. But during that engagement, listen, my first time of bringing her to a Sunday morning service at Costa Mesa, it was our first date to a Sunday morning. Our first date was to a Monday night. I took her to a Monday night service. But on a Sunday morning, I took her to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. This is a true story. And the plate went by. They passed the plate. And I just passed it to the next guy. And she said, listen, we've only known each other for a week. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She goes, you didn't tithe. And I go, yeah, hello, look around. They got enough money here. She goes, that's not what it's about. You're supposed to tithe. The Bible says you're supposed to tithe. She said, I've been tithing since I was 5 years old. You're supposed to tithe. You just ripped God off. What? What are you talking about? Malachi chapter 3. How have you robbed God? You've robbed God, it says in Malachi 3, by withholding your tithes and offerings to the Lord. I'm thinking, man. Here's the, my emotions said, I'm not taking her out again. But the Holy Spirit said, you better listen to her. And this is my wife. Remember, I married her. She was 18 years old. She said, here's the deal. When we get married and we get our paychecks, we sit down and we fill out the deposit slip, we deposit that money, and we sit down and we write a check to the Lord first. Listen, true story. Then we open up our bills. And then we pay our bills. And when we're done paying our bills, then we buy food. And if there's anything left over, then you take me out. You guys, do you see why I married her? Do you see that? That's a woman of God. She trusted the Lord to fill our refrigerator somehow. But he got his, the Lord got his first. Then those who we made a covenant with by signing the contract or the credit card or with the car payment got theirs next. Then we ate what's left. Her concept of putting God first immediately puts us as a young couple totally in the hands of God. And I'm telling you, I look back now after 30 years, I thank God that that's the way that this home has gone. And it wasn't because of me. It was because of her. Listen, anytime you see someone say, hey, listen, let's get married, but this will be your checking account and this is mine. Look, if I was a girl, I'd say, and you want this? You want me to share my body with you and you want to keep your money separated? Where's the trust? I think it's wrong. You may write me a letter. Pastor Jack, I don't like you anymore. Join the club. Listen, you want to share the rest of your life? We're Christians, praise the Lord. But you go on separate vacations and you have separate bank accounts and you're supposed to be one in Christ? Give me a break. That's insane. Listen, if you guys need financial training, the church can help you with that. That may be fine. Well, she just blows money. Then listen, if she blows money, maybe you're the one blowing the money. But listen, let's put God first and let's get you fixed on that. But don't you think for a minute that you're going to be married and you have a separate life over there and you got your separate life over there. And then you're blaming him or blaming her for some separate life in other areas? Oh, no way. You say, man, you are an old guy. I'm telling you something. One, coming together as one. You young people who are not married yet, listen. Anybody wants to keep their life separated from you and they want to be married? No way. How can you trust them? If you can't trust them in the littlest things of nickels and dimes and decimal points and dollar signs, how will you ever trust them when they're away for 2 weeks in Chicago on a sales trip? Give me a break. Final point is this. Managing your relationship and your priorities. Before you ever commit to a relationship, you need to examine that other person's priorities. What really drives them? Benjamin Franklin said, before someone gets married, they should keep both eyes wide open. Then after marriage, they should keep one eye closed. Now, that's not a really great quote for what I'm talking about, but if you translate that into grace, I understand that. None of us are perfect, but what are your priorities? Are you hearing from her? Are you hearing from him? Hey, sweetie, you know what? I know we can't go to Africa right now to help those kids or take the radio station around the world or whatever it is, or, you know, but I tell you what, let's give a nickel. Let's give 10 bucks. Let's give 50 bucks to help. I want to see a kid in Africa get clothes for the year. And I'm going to do that through my church. You start talking to a man or a woman like that, you got somebody good on your hands. And you want to hang on to them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian in Your Relationships. It's part of a series we're presenting now here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In fact, our teacher recently concluded this series, and the audio is available. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more about the subtitles and topics in this series called Life and the Bible. Again, www.realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. All of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.